Only 11 years after Columbus discovered America, an indigenous leader and his followers rose up against the invading Spaniards, making him the first rebel of the Americas. Today we tell the story of Atue, a chieftain of the Taínos who defied the tides of history and became a symbol of indigenous resistance in the Caribbean. While his name is well known throughout the Caribbean, his story is not so well known everywhere else. Let's change that today. Today we bring you a story of resistance, courage, and the indomitable spirit of the powerful leader named Atue. Welcome to the Mysteries of Latin America, where we bring you the myths, legends, and mysteries of North, Central, South America, and the Caribbean to bring you compelling stories, many of which have been lost to time or confined to certain regions of Latin America. Well, here, we find them and share them with the rest of the world. If it's your first time with us, consider subscribing to the podcast on whatever platform you're enjoying us on and share it with other like-minded adventurers. My name is Andrew Colon, and I'll be your guide as we take a trip to the Caribbean and to the 16th century, where the clash of civilizations reshaped the destiny of indigenous people forever, and one man stood out prominently in those clashes. His name was Atue. Our journey begins on the island of Hispaniola, what we know as the island that is home to present-day Haiti and the Dominican Republic. But that's what we call those countries now. Back over 500 years ago, the Dominican Republic was called Quisqueya by the Lucayans, and Haiti was called Haití by the Caribs. Quisqueya means mother of all lands, and Haití means land of high mountains, and you can still hear those names today. The island was inhabited by Taínos, Caribs, Lucayans, and the island of Cuba, which figures prominently in our story, was also home to indigenous Taínos, Siboneyes, and Guanahatabeyes, along with other indigenous groups. These ethnicities shared a common origin, though. They had interactions with or were subgroups of the Arawak indigenous group, and they had similar cultural traits. In the case of Atue, he was a cacique, or chieftain, and leader of the Taínos, the dominant group where he lived and ruled in the Guajaba region of the island. In 1503, and only 11 years after the arrival of Columbus, in the name of a very young Spanish crown, Spanish governor Nicolás de Ovando issued a brutal order to his armies to suppress resistance to the Spanish in the Jaragua region of Hispaniola. The Taíno people there were rebelling against the harsh treatment and forced labor imposed by the Spanish. Ovando ordered his troops to suppress the rebellion and kill the indigenous chieftains and leaders there, leading to a violent and devastating genocide where hundreds of leaders and inhabitants were killed. Some stories say that Atue was able to avoid capture. Others say he was captured and was banished from the island and sent to Cuba. I tend to favor the idea that he was able to get away, as most others were killed in the massacres or executed in captivity. Either way, he survived the massacres, gathered together approximately 400 men, women, and children, and left the island, paddling away in long dugout canoes, eventually landing on the island of Cuba. In Cuba, he and his followers found refuge and solidarity with the indigenous communities there, rising to become the cacique of the Guajaba region, located to the east of the island near what we know today as the province of Guantánamo. His next task was to try and unite the different tribes and ethnicities against the Spaniards, who would surely do the same in Cuba as on his island home, and to convince them to prepare for war. Shortly after arriving to Cuba, he contacted different Taíno tribes in the eastern territory of the island and advised them to prepare for the fight against the Spanish and showed them a basket full of gold and jewels, saying, "For these they fight and kill. For these they pursue us. And that is why we have to throw them all into the sea." He told them to get rid of all the gold they possessed by throwing it into the water, because gold was the god of the white men, and that the Spanish would enslave them and kill them to get it. Atue was said to be a compelling public speaker, and the Spanish friar and missionary Bartolomé de las Casas later attributed these words to Atue: "These tyrants tell us they worship a god of peace and equality, but they usurp our lands and make us their slaves. They speak to us of an immortal soul and its eternal rewards and punishments. that they steal our belongings, seduce our women, and violate our daughters. Unable to match us in courage, these cowards cover themselves with iron that our weapons cannot break. Again and again, Atwe explained to different tribal leaders of the need to unite against the common enemy, the white men who had inflicted much suffering on his people. But the Tainos of eastern and central Cuba could not believe Atwe's dreadful message, and only a few joined him. It would be said later that for all the military and technological might of the Spaniards, it was the inability to rally all indigenous groups together which was the determining factor in winning or losing. In 1511, the Spanish conquistador Diego Velázquez departed from Hispaniola to conquer and colonize Cuba. Among his soldiers was Hernán Cortés, who would later be responsible for the conquest of Mexico. That same year, upon the arrival of Lieutenant Governor Diego Velázquez, he was told that Atwe, by this point, ruled over half of Cuba, making him their prime target. By 1512, Velázquez attacked the indigenous insurgents who rebelled against the Spaniards, and they retreated into the jungles, relying on surprise war tactics to fight. Leading the tribes settled in Baracoa, Cuba, Atwe led a valiant guerrilla-style surprise attack against the Spaniards, ordering his men to divide into small groups and ambush them using spears, sticks, stones, and arrows, and then to disperse to the hills where they regrouped for the next assault. For months, Atwe's tactics kept the Spaniards on the defensive, afraid to leave their fortress. But the conquistadors fought back with firearms, crossbows, tracking dogs, and armor. And once they figured out the indigenous warriors' tactics, they gradually eradicated each of the rebel groups one by one, relying on overwhelming technological superiority. The rebel groups were gradually eliminated until, through the torture of prisoners to make them reveal the chief's hiding place, in early 1512, they managed to capture Atwe. On February 12, 1512, Atwe was found guilty of the crimes of resisting servitude and heresy by refusing to accept the Catholic religion. He was sentenced to die by burning at the stake, a punishment reserved for the vilest of criminals. After the pyre was prepared and the fire was about to be lit, the following exchange happened between the Catholic priest, Father Olmedo, and the condemned chieftain Atwe, as he tried to convert the chief and baptize him, but not to save him from execution, but to save his soul from the flames of hell. "Do you accept Christianity? And do the Spaniards also go to heaven?" "Well, yes, the good ones do." "I do not want to go there, but to hell, not to be where they are and not to see such cruel people." And then he spit at the priest. He chose eternal damnation over sharing paradise with those responsible for his people's suffering. After saying these words, the pyre was lit. Chief Atwe died, consumed by the flames. But until his last breath, he remained steadfast in his resistance, cursing the Spaniards until he could no longer speak. Later, Spanish colonizers massacred almost the entire indigenous population of Cuba, and what their swords didn't accomplish, their diseases did. They then replaced their workforce with African slaves. History proved the reason for Atwe's rebellion. At this moment, I'm going to take a short detour to let you know that this story and the scene of Atwe's execution is portrayed in the movie También la Lluvia, Even the Rain. And I'll have a link to that scene, which I think is even more powerful than the final scenes of Braveheart or Gladiator, and part of what compelled me to tell this story. As we reflect on Atwe's tale, in places like Cuba, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, and Haiti, his legacy there endures as a symbol of resilience and resistance against oppression. His name lives on in the hearts and minds of those who remember the sacrifices made in the name of preserving culture and identity. And for this, he is remembered as the first rebel of all the Americas. Now, as a child of the Caribbean, I've heard bits and pieces of this legend over the years. But after falling down the rabbit hole of Caribbean history, folklore, and legends, I knew I had to tell this story on this episode of the Mysteries of Latin America podcast. If you're like the growing group of subscribers and followers of the podcast, consider sharing the podcast from wherever you're hearing it right now. There's a link in there somewhere to copy and paste on your favorite social media. And make sure to check out past episodes, where we have over 40 stories about everything from alien encounters to beasts and monsters, and more history and mysteries from North, Central, South America, and the Caribbean. Friends, thanks again for listening to the Mysteries of Latin America podcast. I'm Andrew Colon, and until the next episode, adios.